Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel. Each week they unleash their raw, stripped down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. B is for the... That's right, folks. It's love.
I forgot how to spell it for a second.
It's all about the love this week on the show. So many great stories of wonderful people doing great things during this lockdown and troubling times. Owners all over the joint are paying employees even after they laid them off. It's fantastic. And that led us into another story. Bill Carmi did one of the most generous things around the world. It's still talked about. And Kid Rock. I love Kid Rock. And you're going to love some of the stories that Russ tells about him. And Ty Domi ends up calling a player that he used to play with a chicken shit. What's up with that? All that and much, much more coming up on The Suspendables. Rusty, we found you. You're still there. Russ Cortinel on the other end down in L.A., Russ?
Yes, I've been waiting 20 minutes to do that.
You're like the most impatient guy in the world.
I've been waiting like this.
Yeah, I can hear it. I know. I said, we better get it going. Russ is going to dry up here if he doesn't get another White Claw.
Jim sends myself and our producer a text 30 minutes ago. Okay, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
Well, I was.
And so we all get on, and then it's like he's getting food delivered. He's, you know, turned into a gigolo. And and the
a
door
gigolo.
Rang,
all right.
And it was his first customer. His name was Bob.
Stop. I'll tell you what happened. I've been in the house for so long, my pants are beginning to fall down. You know when your pants get so dirty? Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
I don't
God.
Have a belt. I keep hiking though. I go, my pants keep falling down. So I had to go cinch. I had to go get another pair of pants.
Oh, my God. The Bachelor.
Yeah. This is The Suspendables. And Russ and I were both laughing before the start of the show because most shows, okay, Russ, like a podcast, for example, they'd come on and they'd go like this. All right, you're listening to The Suspendables, and follow us on Twitter at this and Instagram at that and TikTok and hit our Facebook site. And then we said, we don't know about any of that stuff. So all we know is you can tune in. We've got a new Facebook that's actually it's developed, and I'm going to meet with them after the show tonight and begin to tell everyone about it. But
yeah, good luck finding it. You'll find it.
I will. And I'm really good at that stuff.
Oh, my
Not,
God.
So, Russ, I'm sure it's the same down there as it is here. We kind of want to try and make it a COVID-free zone, but it's really hard not to. And I got a lot of... We've kept doing the podcast every week. We're into up over 40 shows now. And I had a lot of response from people saying... this was great. You know, the fun that we have on the show, the ribbing, the gouging would be more like it. Okay. So anyway, we want to keep it that way. We're here.
You're an easy freaking target. That's why.
I must be.
Jeez.
I must be. It's just, you know, it's becoming, it is what it is. And, you know, I used to say, Russ, I'm a real homebody. You know, I don't like to go. I don't like
so
to go.
So you're
out.
Doing this no problem.
Well, I'll tell you what.
This is a layup for you. What's everybody complaining about?
Well, I thought it would be. And, you know, you think you want to be a homebody until you're forced to be a homebody.
There
and
you go.
I'm going crazy. I've left the house only a few times. My ex-wife is a frontliner. She's a doctor, GP, and she's been in the hospital every day looking after patients. And, so I live in a house around the corner from her and the kids. So I vacated my house.
Mm-hmm.
She's there now. So she's there alone and going through the whole rigmarole of the masks now. And when she gets home, she sort of has to undress at the door, put those clothes in a bag,
You kind of like when you were dating.
Yeah. Exactly.
I tried in to the get, house naked. Yeah. I'm home.
I said, listen, you know how long?
Years later, it was your clothes at the door with a sign, fuck off.
Do you know how long, honey, I was trying to get you to take your clothes off at the door? Jesus, you know, and now you're
I hope she doesn't listen to the show because we've got hidden cameras in there.
Anyway, we laugh, we kid, we joke. What's it like down there, Russ? What's happening with it down there?
It's an interesting time, I mean, for everybody. We're all going through this, and it's happening so quickly. Paris and I have been staying home, cooking meal. We always cook, but we're, you know, enjoying that, and we go for walks and just go out when we need groceries and other essentials. But we've been... The last week, we've really taken it seriously. We've got our daughter at home. We have an elderly man. I've talked about Don, who lives with us. He has a little guest house out front. So he comes in, gets his food, and leaves. Like, we're all just, you know, trying to maintain us, trying to just do what we're supposed to be doing. And it's sure interesting. We were out for a walk today, and this guy comes around the corner and sees us, and it was like, you know, I had a gun in my hand. He went and walked across the street, and he was so startled that he was going to walk near somebody. It's an interesting time, man. We're all my brother Bruce, I don't think at first was taking it as seriously as he should have, and he's got a young family, and so he now has got it, because, you know, you can't help but get it. If you don't get it now, then get it, meaning understand what's going on.
Oh, I was going to say.
He doesn't have coronavirus, but he's getting the...
Getting the picture.
You live on Vancouver Island, I guess you're a little insulated. You think that, you know, that stuff's going to pass, but it's affecting the whole world. It's amazing.
Yeah, it would be a disservice if we told people, okay, relax, okay, just really, you know, that is not what's happening with this thing right now. It's not a time to relax. There's no precaution that's over the top. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is jump online, and all of the health experts, all the World Health Organization, all of them are saying, don't piss around here. Okay, so
pretend like you have it. I think that's the best advice.
That's a great idea. So anyway, it's not a time to relax about this thing. Take it seriously. And if we're going to do anything about it, we certainly owe the people who are all pitching in to try and stop this thing.
Yeah.
So take it seriously. I threw out on Twitter, Russ, to people to get back to me. If there's someone you want to give a shout out to, the usual stuff, you know, birthdays or yourself, or someone you know is doing some great things during this time. And we got one from Blaine Putfan. Blaine says, Jungle, would you give a shout out to my brother Wade, who's a Corrections Canada officer and has to deal with today's issues in a very difficult situation? So thank you, Wade, for doing that. And we've got a number of other people who are who've weighed in. I don't think I'll be able to get to all of them, but as I scroll through here, hey Jungle, can I get a shout out for Theo and his family, Heather, Mike, and Nathan? The @ChallengeTheo is a charitable site, because Theo is battling. I don't know what this is. He's battling Batten disease, and that's from Ben. So there's a couple people we want to give a shout out to. You know, Russ, the one thing about this, as it changes rapidly each day, and it, you know, obviously it hasn't peaked yet, right? Because the numbers seem to be piling up a little more. But what was curious to me, Russ, was, you know, when it came on, there was a lot of panic, a lot of unknowing about it, a lot of uncertainty, and you had a lot of people reacting to this thing in a pretty selfish way, with shopping and that sort of stuff. But now, Russ, that's turned into this really beautiful side of people. Now that they've sort of got their head around it, that they got to isolate and got to quarantine some people, got to lock up for 2 weeks if you've been traveling and you move back or you get back home. But there's so many cool things that people are doing to help people. And one of the stories I read today was a lot of senior citizens are panicking.
Are they ever?
Yeah, and they've got to get out. They don't buy a bunch of food. They're not big Costco people. They live alone or just with them and their husband. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing for them to get out of the mm-hmm. house and be able to go pick up some food every couple of days. And now they're afraid to, but now they have to.
Yeah.
Right? They're caught at home. And there was some lady who's, you know, she stayed away for as long as she could, but she was down to, you know, bird seed, not to be funny, but, and she went into a store and everything was gone, you know, mm-hmm. and she walked up to the cashier and said, is there any food I can get, you know? Sort of brought to tears. And there was a young kid there with a cart full of food, and he gave her everything in the cart.
Yeah, I read that today. That was great. Yeah,
beautiful story.
Here's a loaf of bread and anything in my cart you want, you can take.
Right.
Those stories are great. And the story of the couple who handed the person the $100 bill and said, please, and gave him the list. They were scared to just go in the store. And this person went in, bought everything on their list, brought it out, put it in their trunk of the car. They were in tears. And I live in Westlake Village, California, and there's a lot of elderly people that live in this small community that we have. It's a lot like Oak Bay in Victoria, British Columbia, where I grew up. Mm-hmm. A lot of retirees. And you see the fear on their face in the grocery store of, I can't get near you because I could die. And what the store did, it's a Vons, so I think they're owned by, it's a Safeway brand, the chain. And from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., it's 65 and older are allowed in the store.
Oh, good idea.
And then, and they were just to be fair to our neighbors. And it's such a, those little things are so beautiful that, like you said, there's some really interesting, good things that are coming out of people, and then there's some freaking assholes too, the freaking Dick and all his buddies down in Florida, spring break, ignoring the whole thing. And you've got those assholes out there. So unfortunately that's someone's kid. And like Kelly Chase said on Twitter today, he goes, if that was my kid, I'd drive down there and I'd be kicking him in the ass so freaking hard. I'd kick him all the way back to St. Louis or something funny like that.
That's typical.
But here we are. We're almost 15 minutes, and we've talked about is Corona, which we said we weren't going to.
But the good side of it,
we
said.
Can I tell you about the good side today?
Absolutely.
That happened to me. So
absolutely.
So I have this backyard. You know, we've talked about it, sitting overlooking 13 and 12 at Sherwood, and I spend a lot of my time out there. I drink coffee in the morning and I have my wine and cigar later in the afternoon or whatever. And I make all my calls out there. It's almost like it's an outdoor living office. It's awesome.
I've been there. I get it. Yeah.
You haven't been to this one yet. You haven't been to this house. You were at the one Britney Spears bought, the one you played piano at.
Yes. Sarah Vaughan's piano, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Matter of fact, sorry to interrupt, that guy was with me, Dave Khalil, remember the piano player?
You've already talked to us about him, the great guy in Ottawa.
I know, but what he did twice a week is he's gone online to put concerts on.
Oh, very nice.
From his house, yeah. So
good for you. Well, shout out to your, what's his name again?
Dave Khalil, yeah.
Yeah.
That was shout out to Dave.
Exactly. Man, can he play? So I'm out there today and I get a text from Gretz.
Yeah.
And our golf course is open. So the rules are no guests, no rakes in the bunkers, not supposed to lift the flag, social distancing, you know, stay apart. But they shut it down for one day and the place went crazy. And it really is giving a lot of people who can't go to work something to do. And it's a beautiful thing. There's so many people out there playing golf that normally probably can't play or don't play a lot.
Right.
So it's a great stress release for a lot of people who can get out there and play. So Gret says, are you home right now? And I said, yeah. He goes, can you pour three shots of tequila? So I said, absolutely. So I get my red Solo cups. I fill them full of ice. I put pretty good pours in them. I go down. It's John McEnroe, Wayne Gretzky, and a member, and they're out you know, big smiles, and we stood around, you know, 6 feet apart.
Sure.
For about 4 or 5 minutes, just talking about this, and John McEnroe was talking about the implications for tennis, and
right.
and Camacho was talking about, you know, just I think I probably had it back in the fall because I was coughing, and Wayne's talking about his business had shut down. I mean, it was unbelievable. In 4 minutes, it went from world tennis to I might have had it. You know, back, a lot of us probably had it this winter and didn't know we had what we had, and boom, boom, boom. And then there was a twosome, and John McEnroe was looking at Gretz, and Gretz goes, oh my God, he's going to lose it, because they didn't want another group to go through them.
Right, right, right. So,
anyways, that was, you know, to make light and still talking about what we're talking about. But that was my morning, and, you know, this late morning. Those guys came through.
I was aware of that because I got a video from the great one, and it was that exact day that you're talking about. Because
that was yesterday.
Is that what it was? Yesterday.
Because Neil Edwards, the agronomist, texted me right after and said, "Wayne just talked to Jimmy," because Neil Edwards is a huge follower.
Is that his nickname, Weeds?
He's from Australia.
Yeah.
And he texted me right away and said, "This is just hilarious, this conversation you and Wayne had." I didn't know it was video, but Neil and Edwards, who walks the golf course and listens to our show, and you know, he told me about it.
So my son I don't know why, because McEnroe hasn't played, but my kid reads a lot and does a lot of online stuff and loves athletes and retired athletes. So he was aware of John McEnroe, my 20-year-old, and Gretz threw the video on there and then McEnroe was on, and I was laughing my head off. And Camacho, there, your buddy, and Weeds, isn't that the nickname of the superintendent?
I don't know.
Weeds is a great name for. Isn't that a great nickname?
Maybe. Yeah. Okay, got it. Now you're getting, a little
come on.
Slow.
Come
little
on, slow. Russ, pick it up.
I thought you said wheats, like as in wheat and barley.
No, I thought, if it's not his nickname, it should be.
Well, it is now.
It is now.
Hey, Neil, your new handle. Your new handle is Weeds.
Weeds, exactly. So anyway, I pumped out this text to my son going, "Look, at Wayne's playing golf with John McEnroe." So I type it out and I hit send, and it ends up going back to Wayne by mistake. You know how you do that sometimes? You mean to send it? And then Gretz goes, "You sent this to the wrong guy. Be careful."
Yeah.
You know, thinking I'm fucking going to the Inquirer or something, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I went to send that to my son. So Gretz texts back and he goes, "Well, what's your son's name?" Right? I said, "Jake." Like I've told you 100 times.
Yeah.
No, not really. He would. I said, "Jake." Anyway, he said, next thing I know, bing, my phone goes off and there's a clip of McEnroe saying, "Hey, Jake, how are you, buddy? Let's be safe out there." So it made my kid's day.
That's great.
Speaking of things, people doing great things, thanks to Reg, by the way, our Coach Reg, who's the coach of the show. And, you know, he sent us off this thing, and it's really great. It's really great. You know, Reg says, "I've read some stories about team owners and players are paying arena workers to make up for their salary losses." These really are the heroes to spotlight. There's a highlight from many, many teams around the league. I'll just read you a few of them. And I thought, Russ, when you hear the names of these cities, I want a story for all these cities that you've been in. First one is Anaheim. Ducks owner Henry and Susan have made a commitment to pay all workers, full and part-time, who are on the schedule for the next 3 Ducks and Big West tournament games, as well as 2 scheduled March concerts at Honda Center. Beautiful. Beautiful he's done
isn't
that.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, Buffalo Sabres. Buffalo plans to pay freelance broadcast employees and cameramen, technicians, as well as other workers who were scheduled to work. The Athletic reports this. They have been pledged to cover any games beyond that, saying, as of now, we expect the games to be rescheduled. We're evaluating next steps. Beautiful. Detroit Red Wings. This guy's been around a long time. Illich, right?
Russ? Well, he passed away, but his son now, I believe, is running the show.
Illich Companies.
Yeah, the Illich. Little Caesar. No, is it Little Caesar's
that's
Pizza?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Great family, great company.
I've said this
before, but when Mr. Ilitch bought the Detroit Red Wings in 1980 for $8 million, the joke was when he walked into the office to write the check, NHL headquarters, whatever the story is, that he had flour on his suit jacket from one of the pizza, you know, probably was working that day.
Right.
And look what that team's done over those years. Amazing.
Yeah, no kidding.
40 years they've owned that team.
And they're in the rebuild. They got Stevie Yzerman back there.
Yeah, Stevie Y, such a great human being.
Ilitch Companies, the company, so the Detroit Red Wings have set up a $1 million fund to go towards part-time staff impacted by the play stoppage. The money set up will also go to those who work for the Detroit Pistons. The Panthers, this keeps getting better. Bobrovsky, the goalie in Florida, has made a $100,000 donation to help cover the team's part-time employees as well. It just goes on and on.
It's so great.
So great. Yeah, absolutely so great. And what's expected, Russ? You were a player. You're retired now. You know, should I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, you know, about what people should be doing or shouldn't be doing. If you were playing then back, Russ, what would you do?
Well, if I was playing now, I would do exactly what the guys are doing because they're making, you know, they're making a lot of money and they deserve it. And so for them to donate some money, I think it's a lot easier. You know, Andrew Whitworth lives in our community here at Sherwood, number 77 for the Rams, and he just donated $250,000 for food, shelters, and just, you know, it's awesome. Anthony Barr, who's raised by a mother, raises money for single parents, single moms, help with their kids. He's giving a one-time $500 donation to any of their scholarship past scholarship awardees. So that means he's already has a list of all these people that he's given money to, and now he's going to give them more money. Anthony Barr plays for the Vikings. Number 55, I think. Yeah.
Right.
55. Athletes, we're lucky because we get paid to play a game, a sport that we love. And how many people in their life get to do something like that? A lot of people work. Everybody goes to work, and not everybody loves what they're doing. And being an athlete is tough. It's strenuous. It can be glamorous, but it also can look more glamorous than it is because once you're paid for something, it is a job. But these guys are fortunate because all of us who have done it for a living are so blessed and lucky. Everything I have in my life, I owe to hockey and my family. And so for them to give back, I think is easy. It's an easy decision because when you park your car in the parking lot and then you walk to your dressing room, you see the same faces every day, every night.
Right.
From security guards to people who work there. And it's a, hi, how are you? And they just look at you like, It's this amazing look.
Right.
And, you know, after many, many years, it doesn't matter what building you're in because you get traded, you see the same people over and over. And so it's so nice for these guys, one, that they're able to give.
Right.
And these people of wealth that they're able to give. How nice would it be to have so much money that you could be out there right now helping people when they really, really need it?
I mean,
it would just be so much fun. I mean, it would be so much fun to drive around and put a smile on people's faces. And a lot of these people that work these part-time jobs, this isn't, obviously, they have a full-time job, and they do this because they need to. Some do it because they love to do it. They may be retired, and they've taken this job just to keep busy, and it's a sporting event, and it's, you know, it's 80 or I should say 40 or 50 nights of the year. So it's not, you know, it's not strenuous, but a lot of them do it so that their kids get something or they give it to their parents or themselves, helps pay rent. most of them are doing it because they need the job to pay something. And so for all these teams, from the owners down or the players up, they're doing a great thing, and they must feel so good that they're doing it and they're able to.
Well, look at even away from there we go.
There's number two.
There's no virus down there, I'll tell you. Yeah, things are fine. Even away from what's happening today, when you bring this up about great things that people have done, a friend of mine is Bill Comrie, who started The Brick years ago.
Oh, my God. Good friend of mine, too.
Yeah, you know Billy. He lives down in Newport Beach now, and his son is Mike Comrie and Paul Comrie, and Eric, his kid, played the World Junior and is still playing hockey. So Billy started selling mattresses in a garage, you know, in the 70s, I think. He'll love the story, but he's going to go, "You always fuck it up, Jimmy. You always get the facts wrong, you know." Anyway, he started doing that, and there's two remarkable stories about Bill that he did that are just one of them made international headlines. The first one, though, was a local thing where when he was sort of bulletproof and was going to, you know, be very successful regardless of how the market went, he built the company up, and he decided to step back, is the way the story goes. And there were a couple of guys who've been with him since day one, you know, who were stock boys, loading shelves, and eventually went on to be vice presidents in the company, a huge company. And wow. So when he kind of stepped away, he brought these two guys in and, you know, had this emotional talk with them, saying, "Look, I'm stepping away." And he said, "I just wanted to give you guys something." And there were two leather briefcases there, you know. And I remember one of the guys who was the recipient of this thing telling the story, going, "Anyway, he told us this great story," and I'm looking down going, "Fuck, a leather briefcase. If I get fucking one more of those things, I'm going to go, he goes, I got to admit," I'm going, "okay, you're walking away with a fucking truckload of cash." Yeah. "That's great. And I know you were happy with me, but a $500 briefcase, you know."
Yeah, with my name on it.
Yeah, fuck. I got the watch. What's next? The watch?
Yeah.
Anyway, Bill said, "Here you go, boys." And he threw them on the table, and they were like, "Thanks a lot, Bill. That really means a lot."
Asshole.
And they're going, the guy says, "This is the most special briefcase I've ever had." And Billy goes, "Well, open it up." Click. $1 million cash.
Wow.
$1 million cash.
Yeah, the government will be looking for these
tax
guys now.
Paid.
Thanks.
Attaboy. Tax was paid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and cool story. You know, cool story. He also, you know, he had an employee. One of his employees was obsessing about a car. You know, buying a car and shopping and couldn't decide and was freaking out about this car. And Billy turned around behind the guy's back and went and bought it for him. You know, he's done a million things
great.
Like that.
Yeah. He gave $48 million when he sold his company to his managers of all his stores. He divided it up and gave them all, and they split $48 million bonus, depending on how long they were with the company.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably a piece of what I was of the story I was going
to
tell next.
Oh, he did sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That made international headlines. So when he was completely out of the company, he called a all-in meeting. Okay, satellite. He did it by satellite. By that, every employee had to come, and he offered. You know, he said, "I'm leaving the company. I'm stepping away, but I want to thank you all." And I forget the amount, but he was going to give everyone. You're going to get 5% of your salary times every year you work for all the years you worked there. And it ended up being this. So every single person who worked there got this bonus. And it was in the multiple millions of dollars that he did. And some guys were there, you know, their whole life. And it ended up being in the millions of bucks that he gave away. And one guy fainted. He thought it was just 1 year of his salary, and he was standing there, and he said, "Oh, this is great. I'm gonna get, you know, $11,000, you know, or something like that." And they went, "No, you've been there 20 years. You're getting $210,000. And the guy fucking fainted, you know. So anyway, I love these great stories. There's look online, a million NHL teams, or I'm using that word a lot, a million, but they're doing wonderful things. So
yeah.
That reminded me of that.
You know what some of the fun things, some of the cool celebrities are doing? Like Kid Rock, he went on his live Instagram and had in his bar of his house or his barn or whatever, his studio.
Yeah.
He started playing and he started talking. He was drinking. He showed his guns. He was like, it just like, you felt like, you felt, but it was so cool because you just felt like, okay, this is what he is really like. I mean, he was cocktailed and his wife or girlfriend was there. And, and I watched it for probably 15 or 20 minutes. And it was so funny because he wanted to communicate and he didn't know, he's like us. He doesn't know how to do it. And then he did it. He got the people live on the screen and they were talking back and forth and he was like, are you okay, can how long can you go without making any money? And you know, just it was a beautiful thing. And then
he showed up at your event the first time.
Yeah,
I did it.
Yeah, he was there. And he, you know, you do know because you introduced Pam Anderson that night and they were dating, and he was the first person to buy our, we had 10 live auction items and he bought a trip to Jamaica for $24,000. So that was the first auction item. He paid $24,000. He wired, that was Friday night. He wired the money in Monday and he never went on the trip.
Wow.
So he just donated $24,000.
Wow. Isn't that nice? Isn't that something?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he went on to play at the Strathcona Hotel downstairs at Legends.
I was there.
Wasn't that great? We had I think you got up and played, didn't you?
Sure I did. It was the jam session of all jam sessions.
Oh my God. It was unbelievable.
There was not only him. There was Kid Rock. Barney Bentall was there. Great Canadian guy. Chad Kroeger.
Yep.
Got up there from Nickelback.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé got up, and so did the guy from the Eagles that you invited.
Don Felder.
Yeah, Don Felder
and
got up there.
And then the two, Paul and from Tragically Hip, the two...
Paul Lamoureux.
Yes, yeah. And he's going to kill me.
Anyway,
Kiefer Sutherland got up for a second.
Yes.
And then Pam Anderson was on the drums.
Yeah.
And Kid Rock was so awesome. He told my buddy Grant Olson, whose family, he's third generation owning the Strathcona Hotel, by the way.
Right.
And they have 9 bars in there. It's a great, great place. My God, it's so good.
When you told
Big
me that.
Big Bad John's, and it's just
9 bars.
Phenomenal. So it was this private after party for our charity event, the Cordinal Celebrity Classic. We raised money for mental health, so it was just a great event. Great way to end the night with an after party with all these people at a black tie event, and we all spill into the bar. And Kid Rock says to my buddy Grant Olson, we call him Oli, and he says, "Oli, keep my cigarette lit, keep my drinks coming, and I'll play all night. My cigarette goes out, my drink gets empty, I'm out of here." And he goes, "And you know who I'm with, so you know where I want to go after." So there was Oli beside the bar, and there I looked over, and I can't remember what he was drinking, probably like whiskey and Coke, or Jack and whatever. And there was like 4 in a row, and then packages of cigarettes stacked on top of each other. It was so funny. Because it was it was 2003 when you could still smoke in bars, I guess. Maybe you couldn't, but he was.
It was just one of the greatest events I've ever been to.
That was awesome. Thing.
And so, I mean, it was the only game in town, of course, that weekend. And people were coming out in droves. It was a golf tournament, you know, of course. But you had the radio-a-thon. You raised all this dough. You raised $1 million, as a matter of fact, because someone topped it up at the end of the week to make
Jeff Mallett. Jeff and Claire Mallett.
Yahoo guy?
Is that well, he owns part of the Whitecaps. He owns part of the San Francisco Giants. He owns part of Derby soccer team. And he
should have made it $2 million.
So he's a year older than me, grew up in Victoria, great guy, and Claire's from Napa.
Yeah.
And at Jeff's it was so funny because you wanted to make the announcement. You're like, "How much did you guys raise? How much did you guys raise?" Mm-hmm. We were having that backyard barbecue with Jeff's house. Yeah, which was just a blast, and got millions more stories about
it.
But
it was the best.
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. So this is Sunday. Everybody's like, "Oh my God, this is like 4 days."
The hits just keep on coming.
It is. Yeah. And you were the only one who could really go because you were on the Devil's Dandruff at the time.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, I got no end to me.
Yeah. So you go. You got the mic, and nobody likes the mic better than Jim. So Jim's holding on to the mic, you know, it's like a kid with his boner. He's walking around the house in his pajamas, holding on to this mic, and
kid with his boner.
Yeah. So
I still
so
do that,
Jimmy's
Russ.
Jimmy's going to Jeff and I. How much did you guys make? How much you donate? How much, you know, and there's Judy Christensen, who's been working on this thing for 4 or 5 months, ready to just pass out for a week. Yeah. Judy. And she's like, okay, a rough estimate. I think we're going to net $850,000. And Jeff Mallett overhears that and goes, how much? $850,000. He goes, I'll give you another $150,000, make it $1 million. And you look like Ben Johnson running to the frickin' stage.
I thought it's gotta be a joke.
Oh my God.
Who's got a loose $150,000 on them that fast? Holy Jesus.
Yeah.
Listen,
it was a great event. But you know, our event, we've had it a few times. Is what we're seeing right now with all these teams and players just giving those beautiful people out there that just have that kind of money where they can go, you know what, I'm going to help people. And now's the time. Right now's the time. People are just the great people of this world right now are just finding ways. Rihanna gave five million.
I saw that. You know,
I mean, it's unreal, you know, what people do. And you know what? There's some people who say, I want to give and I don't want anyone to know. I call bullshit. If you're giving money right now, you should let everybody know. Because you know what? When people like Rihanna and the hockey teams of the world and the players start donating, it gives people who have the money an idea like, you know what?
Right.
I never thought of doing this, but she did it or he did it. I'm going to do it too. And forget the... you know, I'm gonna do something and I don't want anybody to know. You know what? I don't care if you got $5 or $500 billion. Go out there and help some people.
Yeah, I love that event. There's a couple stories and the one was the best one ever was a guy explaining it to me. Now I'm fucking hammered, okay, for the 3 days when I'm there, but I fit right in. And the guy's got I got the mic and you've met me. You got me hooked up with the club captain there. I've always made fun of the guy with the British accent.
Major.
The major.
Petsing.
I said, what's happening here, Russ? And you're sitting down at this meeting because you're afraid I'm going to go crazy. And then you're telling me to go, okay. And then this helicopter, Jimmy, is going to hover above the 18th green and drop fucking 10,000 golf balls. I'm going, what?
What?
Yeah. People have bought golf balls. And the one that's closest to the hole is going to win $5,000 or something.
It was like $15,000 or something.
Well, I was getting delusional. I thought, I've been up late. I haven't been to sleep in a couple of weeks. This can't be true. And next thing I know, this fucking chopper. And just torpedoing people with golf balls. And that was great. And the other hilarious story, I'm embarrassed by it now because I didn't have an appreciation for native art in our country. And I go to the West Coast a little bit, and I remember sitting at the dinner. I was with Jim Burns there, you know, the double amputee guy. He was at my table, actor, and great blues musician, of course. And you're saying, yeah, we raise a lot of money at this auction, right? And I'm going, oh, yeah? Okay. What's you know, here's the first item, and it's a soapstone carving that someone did. And I'm turned to Jimmy Burns, right, as sarcastic. I'm going, this thing ain't going to get fucking shit, this thing, right? Who the fuck? You can buy these
and normally things. You're the one auctioning off at these events. So you're a little pissed off as it is because we've got Richie Brothers, the greatest auctioneers in the world. There's nobody who can freaking auction like these guys. And so you're a little bit butthurt because normally...
Because I can auction. I'm a great auctioneer.
Yeah. You're sitting there going, okay, sorry, keep going.
Jimmy Burns is getting hammered with me and I'm going, okay, may I... I got to check out here for a while because the next one's a fucking painting or something from some guy, okay, from Molly's Reach at Gibson's Cove. I don't know where this thing is. Anyway, I sit there, I'm looking at it, and I just remember sort of my elbow falling off the table.
Art Vickers.
As I leaned into Jimmy Burns, and I went, did that seal and that fucking polar bear statue just go for $65,000? Fuck, it was unbelievable. I got another story here, Russ. It broke today, which is great for some. You know, we want to get away from it a little bit. Ty Domi comes way out of left field in the last couple of days. Way out of left field. Is doing a guest spot on a podcast and absolutely rips Scott Stevens an ass, a new one, calling him a chicken shit.
Yeah, phony.
What? First of all, Russ... did you know this sort of relationship? Like, I mean, you know, both players. You played with both at the same time.
No, I didn't.
What is that all about? So, what he does, just to give you the backstory.
I read it.
Yeah, so he calls him a chicken shit, saying he never wanted to fight him.
Yeah, guess what, Ty? Not too many people did.
Yeah.
Scott Stevens was a tough customer, tough son of a bitch. I mean, he had a presence on the ice. Ty Domi fell into that category as the enforcer, tough guy on the other team. And so you have a level of fighters on each team. And you've got the Gino Ojics, you know, the Wendell Clarks, the Bob Proberts, the Ty Domis, the toughest of the toughest, right?
Right.
The category below is not going to fight those guys. They're fighting each other. So for Scott Stevens to fight Ty Domi, I mean, you wouldn't do that. I mean, I don't care. Like, Scott is a freaking tough son of a bitch. There's no way he's fighting Ty Domi. There's no way. He'd fight Shane Corson. He'd fight, I don't know about Wendell if he had to, but that, like, you know, that category of fighter, Scott probably would fight, but not. There's no sense for him to fight Bob Probert or Ty Domi. I just don't get. I don't get why he's calling him a phony. Because
well, I think Ty agrees with you to a certain extent that I don't expect Yari Curry to fucking step up and fight me. But he was saying that because he called him a chicken shit. Not just you know, saying I'd turn down a fight. But he said he used to maul the good players. He was a cheap shot artist, Scott Stevens. He used to, you know, he used to stick guys, trip them, you know, try and take a knee out and all this stuff. So Ty said, this guy deserves everything he got. And every time they came to fight, they had some, you know, back in the day, there was bench clearing brawls. And Scott Stevens would just run at him and bear hug him. And he said, fuck, he was so strong. And I kept saying to him, let go. I want to fight you. And he wouldn't let him go. So
there you go. Well, remember what I told you about Gino Ojic when the tough guy on the other team would go after Pavel? He'd go right up to the bench of between plays when the play had stopped, and he'd look at the best player, call it Steve Yzerman, and he'd go, Stevie, if he keeps going after Pavel, I'm going to kill you.
I love that.
Yeah. And I don't know which player it was, but Gino did that. And he went over to the best player on the team and said, I am going to effing kill you if he keeps touching my guy. And the guy looked down the bench and said, leave him alone!
That's some of the shit, right? We never got to hear his fans. Yeah. I mean, Marty. I used to hear Marty. My seats were right near the glass. Yeah. I used to say, Marty, shit, that would get you thrown in jail.
Yeah,
you know?
Marty.
Like, Marty would just go, listen, I'm going to press your fucking eyeballs into the back of your head. You know,
Marty,
I'm
going to
fucking squeeze the life out of you. I mean, there was just
verbally
crazy.
Marty was the worst, and he was just as bad with his own teammates. He was ruthless.
Anyway, interesting thing that Ty Domi would
unleash on him.
Yeah, it's sort of supposed to be a fraternity amongst you guys. What are you doing, Ty?
Well, the podcast thing with, you know, people trying to get exposure and crazy. Yeah. Look, I mean, look what happened to JR. I mean, he lost his job by going on that freaking, you know, podcast and spewing stories about his co-hosts, and he lost his job because he, you know, thought it was funny and trying to get a laugh and
You know, well, so it's like you and I. If you were working for a major network as well as doing this podcast, Russ, you wouldn't be saying half the shit you're saying.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't be going on saying, "Yeah, I want to take a run at your wife, Paris." Boom, done. Job ended.
You know? Oh, you know, I saw golfing today out when I was out watching. No, Caitlyn Jenner was out there banging the ball around. She had shoulder surgery a while back, so she's out practicing quite a bit. But she, like Wayne, is here playing a lot. I mean, it's so weird because we've had this relationship with Bruce and Chris, because Chris and Janet and Paris Jenner,
Bruce Jenner's wife,
Chris Jenner, they used to work out in the same gym and do all this stuff together, and we had went to the kids' parties and they came to ours, and now, you know, Chris Jenner is this massive mogul,
right?
But this,
so you see, you know, Caitlin around all the time.
So Caitlin all the time, every day almost. Caitlin is here playing golf. We're not open on Mondays, although now with all that's going on, they're leaving the course open Mondays. So, Caitlin's here every day, and she has a different freaking Porsche or fast car every time she shows up. And so she comes over from Malibu, plays golf, and then she goes to Starbucks. And then bombs through the Santa Monica Mountains in whatever freaking fancy car she's got rolling.
As I remember saying, when I was doing that event, and he came up, his team won a prize when I was at Sherwood, and said, "Way to go, Bruce." He was Bruce back then. Yeah. She was Bruce back then. And I said, "I remember you from the 76 Olympics in Montreal, and you won the decathlon, and you were running around the track, waving the American flag, and your wife leaning over, screaming," and he said, "That was like five wives ago."
Yeah.
He was funny. Okay, Rusty, another show in the book, some great stories. Good luck. Everyone stay safe out there. There's lots you should be worried about, but at the same time, we want to sort of provide a space where you can come and have a few laughs. So, Rusty, one of my favorite jokes.
Oh, here we go. Before you start in on a joke, the two guitarists from Tragically Hip that played out in Victoria were Paul Langlois and Gord Sinclair.
Langlois, not Lamoureux, right?
Yeah, they're great. They love golfing, so whenever they come to LA, they would call me up and ask if they come out and play Sherwood. They're just great guys.
Right. Anyway, this joke. Okay, they are great guys, by the way. So the joke. You know, everyone's talking about the stress on the healthcare system right now. And, of course, Canadians have free healthcare. They've had it for years. And, you know, the Newfoundland. You know I love the Newfs, Rusty. Okay.
Yeah.
And they were, you always start laughing as soon as you know I'm going to tell a Newfie joke. And they were the last province, this is a fact, to join Confederation, Russ. Yeah, because they just didn't want to. We're not fucking joining. We're fucking staying on our own, okay? We don't want you. And they finally got convinced to join Confederation because of this massive healthcare system that we had, this program. And they said, okay, it's free? Yeah, it's free healthcare, man. You got to join. Okay, we'll fucking join, all right? It's free, huh? This is free. So the Newf got his health card in the mail about a week later after they joined Canada. And he walked into the doctor's office, threw the health card on the table and said to the nurse, "I want a castration and I want one right fucking now." And she said, "No, you don't want one." He goes, "I do, it's free. Healthcare, schmealthcare, give me a castrate." "No, you don't." Brings the doctor in, screaming at the doctor, "I want a castrate." They go, "Fine, we'll do it." Anyway, they gets the operation done. The next morning, he wakes up in bed and he's moaning and groaning. He's going, "Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, is this hurt?" And there's a guy beside him in the other bed. And he says to the guy, "What the fuck? What are you in here for?" And the guy says, "Circumcision." He goes, that's the fucking word I was trying to think of.
That's good.
Anyway, I got a million of them. We'll tell more next week. Take care, everybody. Be safe, and we'll see you and hear you and listen to us every week right here in The Suspendables. Take care, Rusty.
Have a good week.
You've been listening to The Suspendables, a weekly hockey series with Jim Jerome in Edmonton and Russ Cordinal in Los Angeles. A new episode every Tuesday on Wooshka, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, we appreciate you sharing this podcast with your group of friends.